And while I'm thinking about it, Pastor Ed and I would like to thank all of you for the Father's Day greetings and cards. I got a card from my oldest son, just waiting to talk to him tomorrow. Not my oldest son, my middle son. He sent me a Star Wars card. It said, "Father, I'd go to the dark side for you." And I'm like, okay. Since you're willing to go to the dark side, come on over to the light. See, I didn't get upset when I saw and said, "I'm not going to dark." No. Since you're willing to go that, come where it's light. Okay. And do Stevie Wonder song. If you really love me, like you said, come on to the light. Are you at John 3? Let's read verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In John 13, verses 34 and 35, out of the Voice, says, "So I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others." Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, some familiar verses. I'm going to move quickly to try and get everything in. Let's read verse 17 in 2 Corinthians 5. Are we there? Let's read it. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away." Read that again. "Old things have passed away." One more time. "Old things have passed away. All things have become new." In the God's Word translation, it says, "Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence." And because we're new creatures in Christ, we have to understand that our life as a new creature should be so much better than the way it was before Christ. So much better. And it should be evident. But the reality is that there are too many of us and they're not experiencing that newness. They're not experiencing that difference. And we have to find out why. And if you look in Romans, let's go to Romans 12, because this gives us a clue. And this happens to be our primary scripture for this Renewing Your Mind series. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." And we found out that when you present yourself according to the concordance, you're putting yourself at someone else's disposal. So it's telling us to put our bodies should be placed at God's disposal, or our bodies should be placed under God's control. So we're supposed to put our bodies under God's control as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Message Bible says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. See, once you give an offering, You don't have a say in what happens with them. So when you give your body as an offering, guess what? Go ahead, you can say it. You don't have a say in what God does with it. Say, I presented my body as an offering to God. Take a deep breath. And I say, I don't have a say in what he wants to do with it. Okay? All right. Is that clear? Okay? So really, every aspect of our, you know, eating, sleeping, walking around, going to work, everyday life should be different. We should no longer be comfortable doing the things we did before Christ. I'm not going into it tonight, but you know the story about how I stopped playing basketball. It just, all of a sudden, it was no longer comfortable. It didn't fit. It was like something was wrong. I didn't understand it, but my mind was being renewed. And that was part of the process. See, when you receive Jesus Christ and you fail to renew your mind, you'll go right back into doing the things you did before. And you'll become frustrated because you would have expected that you would be different. But if you don't renew your mind, nothing is going to change. You'll still stay in the old habits. It'll be like that scripture in Proverbs says that as a dog returns to its own vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. We don't want to be like that dog and return just because we're a fool. I wanted to say regurgitate, but God said, you said you wouldn't pull any punches. I said, no, you said I wouldn't pull any punches. Either way, so he said vomit, so I said vomit. Okay. See, we have to understand that the world is expecting us to display godly character and godly characteristics. Even though when you were a young child, how many of you had a great appreciation for the rules that your parents had? Okay. But now, how many of you counted on those rules to keep you out of some trouble? Okay. I mean, that's the place that you didn't want to go and you didn't want to tell everybody you didn't want to go. What'd you say? My parents won't let me. Okay. And that's the way the world is. Yeah, they act like they don't want us around, but let a catastrophe happen. And the first thing they're going to say, pray for me. Oh God, please help me. They're going to look for somebody that shows some sign that God is. And God knew that. And he expects us to be those somebodies. Because old things have passed away. All things have become new. But the scripture tells us to be ye transformed. And I have to go back. I read this before, but I have to go back to this passage. I mean, I haven't even gotten to the book yet. I keep reading the same little excerpt from it. Personal transformation. It's called The Transformed Life. It says, personal transformation requires radical change. It has been said that the only thing you can count on in this world is that nothing stays the same. You can change your address, your job, your wardrobe, your friends. You can even change your name, but your life will not transform until you change the way you think. Folks, we have to change the way that we think. Proverbs 23 says what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? Does any of this sound familiar? I know you just heard this one. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things, doing what? Entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You ever hear, you shall have whatsoever you say? What about if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart? if you're willing and obedient, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against your knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It all involves in how you think. If you don't bring every thought captive, you're going to have renegade thoughts. And if you have renegade thoughts, guess what it's going to produce? Renegade actions. I mean, that's just the way it happens. And we need to understand that. The more I read and study and meditate, I keep coming back to the same thing. I'm a product of the way I think. Why? Because my thoughts are going to motivate what I say. If I think different thoughts, I'll say different things. I mean, I could have stood up here and said a number of different things about this gash in my head. No. It's a testimony of God's faithfulness. How could you say that? Because it could have been much worse. I could have fallen straight down, I forgot to tell you that, and not used a dishwasher door to break my fall. So yeah, we took out the dishwasher door. I have favor with God and man. I called the management office, told them what happened. The next day, they replaced the door. What does this cost? Pastor, stop. Don't even think about it. I'm like, okay. I'm not going to think about it. Right. Acts 26, Paul was brought before King Agrippa, and King Agrippa was giving him an opportunity to speak in his own defense. Now I'm thinking about that. Someone gives you an opportunity to say, okay, I'll allow you to speak in your own defense. That means using trouble. And this person wants to hear what you say before he decides what he's going to do to you. Now, Paul had already endured a lot up to that point. He'd already been stoned and thrown in prison, you know, and they had to sneak him out of Berea. And all of this other stuff, he'd been already been before other rulers. And now here he is on trial again. And the guy says, okay, I'm going to let you speak. There are a number of things that he could have said. He could have cried out to God, God, why am I going through this again? Anybody ever felt like that? Okay. He could have said, oh, woe is me. I should have never converted. I should have continued. When I saw the light, I should have covered my eyes. Okay. Or he could have sang that prison song, Nobody Knows. This trouble I've seen. You know, he could have done any of those things, but look what he said in verse 2. He said, I think myself happy. I read that, I burst out laughing. He's standing in front of the king, and he's like, I'm going to let you speak. Yeah, I think myself happy. Why is that important? When you think happy, you speak freely. And he went on and freely spoke. And when you think about it, he was really confirming what he was on trial for. But he didn't care. He chose to think himself happy. And so I wondered, how do you do that? When things come up, how do you think yourself happy? Why is that important? Remember I told you, as a man thinking in his, well, I didn't tell you, Proverbs told you, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, all that means is you're going to establish who you are by what your thoughts are. Maybe a better way of saying it is what you think you're going to become. And Paul said, I'm going to stay happy, and I'm going to stay free, and I'm going to keep doing the things that I know Christ ordained me to do, and he was happy about it. Didn't care what it cost him. He stayed happy. But that brings us to a question. Okay, I get it. I have to renew my mind. I understand that. Yes, okay, I'm a new creature. My old way of living is gone, and it has to be a new living, a new way of living. But if I'm not supposed to conform to this world, then what am I supposed to conform to? Because there has to be a model. There has to be something that I can look at, something that I can study, something I can keep my focus on that will get me to where I need to be. Look at Philippians 2. Because I believe this is the answer. I'm going to share it in the voice, just because the way it says it. I have to start at verse 1. If you find any comfort from being in the anointed, that means being in Christ. If His love brings you some encouragement. If you experience true companionship with the Spirit. If His tenderness and mercy fill your heart, then brothers and sisters, here is one thing that would complete my joy. Come together as one in mind and spirit and purpose, sharing the same love. Don't let selfishness and prideful agendas take over. Embrace true humility and lift your heads to extend love to others. Get beyond yourselves and protecting your own interests. Be sincere and secure your neighbor's interests first. Now, here we go. In other words, adopt the mindset of Jesus the Anointed. Adopt the mindset of Jesus the Anointed. Live with His attitude in your hearts. The King James Version says, let this mind be in you. That's happily the title of this lesson, let this mind be in you. We're to adopt the mindset of Jesus. The way He thinks, we're supposed to think. Period. And it tells us something about it. Verse 6, though He was in the form of God, He chose not to cling to equality with God. He poured Himself out to fill a vessel brand new, in a servant in form. And a man indeed. The very likeness of humanity, He humbled Himself, obedient to death. Now, looking at that in the King James Version, it starts off with what word? Verse 5. Let. Let. And I found that let is the key word. Because let means it ain't gonna happen by itself. Let means it needs my cooperation. That's what let means. There's a very, very crucial implication, because it means that we have a part in Christ becoming our mindset. We have a part in that. Because let means we have to allow it to happen. Let means we have to give permission for it to happen. Let means we have to concede that it happened. And once you concede that it happened, you have to act like it happened. So Paul is saying, look, you have to concede. You have to give permission. You have to allow the same mind that was in Christ, that is in Christ, to be in you. You have to do it. Just like He had to do it. Coming from His background, He had to make a choice to develop and adopt the mindset of Jesus Christ. That's why He could stand there before the king and say, I think myself happy. Let me show you this. Bible says that Jesus thought it wasn't robbery to be equal with God. Why do you think that? Well, in Genesis, what did God say concerning mankind? In Genesis 1:26. You make them in his image and after his likeness. So why shouldn't I act like I'm equal with God? He said, I'm made in his image and after his likeness. God has dominion and authority, and he said, we have dominion and authority. So Jesus' mindset is, if God said it, that settles it, I believe it. Simple. So anything that comes along, he's thinking, okay, God would do this. So I'm doing this. Why? I have dominion, I have authority, I'm made in his image and after his likeness. So if it works for him, works for me. Okay. So I'm adopting that mindset. He didn't think that there was anything wrong with that, and he was absolutely right. Because he said, listen, if you really believe God meant what he said, you'd do what he said. It's really that simple. See, if I don't believe something, guess what? I'm not going to do it. If I believed that I could drive on the left side of the street here in the United States and not get a ticket, not have any accidents, guess what? I drive on the left side of the street. But I believe if I drive on the left side of the street, they're going to pull me over. And if I do it enough, they're going to take away my driving privileges. So I drive on the right side of the street. And I obey the traffic laws. All of them. Even the ones that I don't think make any sense. Okay. You can only drive 50 miles an hour, but I need to do 60. I don't like driving that slow. Well, go back to when you first learned how to drive. You thought 30 miles an hour was too fast. Okay. But the bottom line is, the law said 50. It's that simple. I'm going to read you what he told me. He said, God said it, that settled it, I believe it. He said, that's why God is alive and well was ingrained into the LCA students. That's why, to our knowledge, with very few exceptions, each one of them have become successful. Each one of them have graduated college. Some have gone on to graduate law school, and many of them graduated with honors. Why? They were taught how to think like God. They were taught who they were in Christ. And even some students that had an IEP, which means that they were told that they couldn't learn the same way as others, have master's degrees. Master's degrees. Why? Because they believed that they could do all things through Christ who strengthened them. We changed the way they thought about things, starting with themselves. Some of us need to change the way we see ourselves. Because that's why your circumstances are not changing. That's one of the reasons. You don't see yourselves out of them. You see yourselves in it, and you let your behaviors say that you're in it. We have to change the way we think if we want to change all of our circumstances. I could have chosen to think differently. When you look up there, I mean, this person said to me, he said, was this a white cabinet? So how'd you know? You got pieces in your head. I could have changed the way I thought about that. I could have changed, oh, Lord, I got to get another tetanus shot. I might have lockjaw. I just stepped on a nail because that's what that spike was like. No. I said, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm still healed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And he said, that's not a weapon. That's a hamper top. You used it against me. It's a weapon. It ain't going to prosper. Simple. How can I say that? I have that mindset. I didn't always have it, but I have it now. And that's what matters. Doesn't matter that you may not have had it. You can get it anytime you want to. See, those students had to make a choice. They had to believe what their instructors were saying was the truth. They had to believe it. And once they believed it, they had to order their lives accordingly. Now, there's no greater teacher or instructor than the Holy Ghost. He always testifies of Jesus. He'll always show us things to come. He'll always guide us into all the truth that there is. And he's often moving through people like myself and Pastor Ed and others to train the people, to get the people to transform their minds. But guess what? He needs your permission to do it, because he's not going to force it on you. You have to agree to allow your minds to be changed. You have to agree to let the Holy Ghost show you how to operate with the mind of Christ. You're going to have to agree that some of the things that you enjoy doing, you're going to just have to let go. But see, but you could argue, yeah, Pastor, all that sounds good, but if I read the scripture, it says I already have the mind of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Because I'm not going to argue with you. That's absolutely true. There's something else you're not thinking about. King James Version, verse 16, says, "Or who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have what?" Says, "We have the mind of Christ." The CEV says, "We understand what Christ is thinking." The easy to read version says, "But we've been given Christ's way of thinking." And the scripture is absolutely true. You know, so well, if we already have the mind of Christ, what's the problem? Well, here's the problem. Say I go to the supermarket and I decide to buy Robert a month's worth of groceries. Best of everything. Absolute best of everything. And I have it delivered to his home. He never opens the door and picks it up and brings it inside. He has it. It was given to him. But he's got a choice to make. He's got to receive the delivery. He's got to take it inside. He's got to nurture it. He's got to take care of it. And then he has to use it. Or if I come, I want to do the same thing. And we're trying to get it to Brother Ken, but he keeps moving. I send it to the delivery address. He ain't there. He's somewhere else. It's, oh, he's over here. All right, take it over there. By the time it gets over there, he's gone someplace else. It's his. It belongs to him. Paid for. He can't get it because, A, he's not where he's supposed to be. And B, he won't stay still long enough so it can be poured in. Can you imagine? Well, if you know your child asks you for a glass of juice, because we're not going to give them sodas and things, right? So you go to the juicer and you put the fruit in and you make the juice, and then you're pouring it. He pulls the cup up and you go to pour it in. He goes and moves it. Okay, you're trying to pour it and he's moving it all over. It's spilling all over the place. But it's his. You made it for him. And you're trying to give it to him, but he won't receive it. Won't receive it. So yes, the scriptures say we have the mind of Christ. We're not receiving it. We're not taking it in. We're leaving it out on the doorstep. Why? Well, it's not always convenient. To have the mind of Christ. That's something that I wanted to do. And if I have the mind of Christ, I can't do it. Message Bible, Philippians 1, verse 27. Get back the landscape. There you go. Verse 27 to 30. Meanwhile, live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. How are we going to be a credit if we don't have the same mindset as Christ? Let nothing in your conduct hang on whether I come or not. Your conduct must be the same whether I show up and see things for myself or hear of it from a distance. Stand united, singular in vision, contending for people's trust in the message, the good news, not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition. Your courage and unity will show them what they're up against. Defeat for them, victory for you, and both because of God. There's far more to this life than trusting in Christ. There's also suffering for him. And the suffering is as much a gift as the trusting. You're involved in the same kind of struggle you saw me go through, on which you are now getting an updated report. We're going on to chapter 2. If you've gotten anything out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in the community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Verse 5. Think of yourselves the way Jesus Christ thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. No matter what. That's the mindset that God expects us to develop. I share this with you. Look at Matthew 16. Very familiar. This is when he asks his disciples, you know, who do men say that I am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And also I say to you that thou art Peter. And on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On this rock, on this revelation, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm building my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we should have the mindset, I'm the church. What do you mean we can't do this? I'm the church. And Christ, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, said, your gates won't prevail against me. So we're coming through. You do what you want to. But we're coming through. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. See, he also said he gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth is loosed on heaven, in heaven. So why aren't we binding and loosing? We're not thinking about it. Why aren't we thinking about it? We haven't developed the mind of Christ, because he never wavered. Never like, oh man, what do I, Lazarus is dead. Oh, what do I do? I don't know. I should be able to do something after all. I'm Jesus. No, he knew why he was always in tune with his Father. And so he heard his Father every time his Father spoke to him, and his Father spoke to him all of the time. How do you know that? He said, I only do the things that my Father told me. So that means he had to be able to see, he had to through spiritual eyes and hear through spiritual ears, and I have to have that same mindset. Because that's the mindset he had. And if he had it and he's in me, I should have it also. If he acts like it and he's in me, I should act like it also. But before, well, I don't want to get too far ahead. Just look quickly at Hebrews 11. I mean, we know these verses. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. He must first believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Folks, before you can have the same mind, let the same mind be in you that's in Jesus Christ, you have to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, you can say, well, duh, that's a given. Not necessarily. Let me ask you something. That's what God told me to ask you. How many of you have ever been afraid? Let me rephrase it. Since you've been in Christ, how many of you have ever been afraid? Okay. How many of you have allowed the devil's thoughts to be your thoughts? Okay. How many of you think it appears that the enemy is just gaining too much territory? Anybody ever given in to the craving of their flesh? I won't look for that one. Okay. Has anybody ever spoken out of love? You could just go, you don't have to raise it. Okay, all right. Just one more. One of the things about using the iPad, your thumbs make things change. Anybody ever harbor unforgiveness? Anybody feel they need to protect themselves from ever being hurt again? Well, when we really grab hold of the full understanding, I'm talking about me too, okay, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we won't have those thoughts. Those thoughts will never, ever have any place in our lives because we'll understand who we are. We'll understand that God loves us perfectly. And he said, perfect love casts out fear. So what do I have to be afraid about? My Father loves me. No matter what happens to this physical body, I win. You know how dangerous we become when we adopt that mindset? Nothing will ever move us off of, I have the mind of Christ. It's another thing. If two people have exactly the same mind, they think exactly alike, exactly, every single thought, exactly the same, will they say the same things? Yes. Why? Because they think exactly alike. Will they do the same things? Yes. Why? Because they're thinking the same thing. They have the exact same mind, exact same thought patterns and thought processes. So they're going to do everything exactly the same. John 1. And matter of fact, I think I shared this on Sunday. Verse 14, the Amplified Bible. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us. So Christ said, and we beheld his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory is only given the only begotten of this, Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Well, we have the mind of Christ. When we got born again, that was like the Word becoming flesh, because it's now dwelling in all of us. And the people should see in us the glory of God. When they see us, they should see grace and truth. Why? That's what they saw when Jesus walked among them. And we have his same mindset. So we have his same actions. We believe the same way. We speak the same way. They should see the same thing. That's why God put us here. He didn't say, and let me make Jesus in my image and after my likeness. He said, let us make man. That means woman. Is there anyone in here that doesn't fall into the category of man or woman? Then you're made in the image and likeness of God. And when God made us, the Bible says, he looked back at everything he made and saw that it was very good. So there should be no reason why, with who we are and all that we have, there should be no reason why we're not walking around doing the things God expects us to do, thinking the way God expects us to think, because we have the mind of Christ. Because we make a choice to receive that which was given to us. In Luke 22, this is the last one I'm going to give you. Verses 31 to 32. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And when I first saw this, it stunned me. Because I would have expected the next words to come out of Jesus' mouth to say, but we said, no, you can't have him. He didn't say that. He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. One of the definitions of convert is to adopt an opinion. And you study out opinion, you find out it's what you think about something. So you could very easily imply, Jesus said, Peter, when you get your thinking right, when you start thinking like me, strengthen your brethren. That's why when Peter was put before the people, because they were upset at the healing of the impotent man near the gate beautiful, and he said, whether I should obey you more than God, you judge. Same Peter. Nah, I don't know Christ. Not me. No, I'm not. No, you want to hear me curse? Because would a person following Christ say this? Okay. We laugh, but see, that's why we act the way we act sometimes. Because surely nobody in Christ would dress like that. I mean, surely. Okay. But we have to think about those things. Peter got converted. He said, I can only speak the things which I have seen and heard. That's it. What have I seen and heard? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm the church. Your gates will not prevail against me. And I find it amazing. Some of us will see a spider and take off running. Take off. And don't let a bee come around. Okay? But they didn't run from the people. They didn't run. They stayed right out in front. And any time something happened to them, I mean, they get beaten, bloodied, and said, do not teach in that name. and they let him go. What do? Go right into the middle of the city and start teaching again. Why? That's what Christ would have done. They had the same mind. You know, it's just the gates of hell. They ain't going to prevail against us. And the Bible said 3,000 one day, 5,000 another day. People coming to Christ in droves. Why? Because the disciples acted like they had the mind of Christ. We can't become so sophisticated, so technological, and we forget who we are. We can't become so focused on what the world says that we can't do that we forget who we are. I'm going to close with this. I think it was earlier this week or last week, I don't remember which day, there was a groundhog in the back of the parking lot. Had an orange cup stuck on its face. I mean, well, that'll preach. Stick your nose where it doesn't belong. You may not be able to pull it out so easily. Okay. And I mean, this guy, I mean, couldn't see where he was going. And he's just running around aimlessly. And because he doesn't know what's happening, so he'll hear a noise, he just stops and lays down. Because he doesn't know what to do. Well, someone called, I don't know, either a pest control or animal control. And this guy came with a net and had to take it captive. Put it in a cage where its movements were restricted. Pulled the cup off its face. And then let it loose. Then it just took off running because it knew exactly where it needed to go. Well, see, when we fail to allow the mind of Christ to become our mind, it's like we have these blindfolds on and we're running around aimlessly and we don't know where we're going. We have to allow the Holy Ghost to come and capture us. Capture us and take off the blinders. And then he lets us go, and we're supposed to take off running, knowing exactly what we're supposed to do, knowing exactly where we're supposed to go, because now I have the mind of Christ. I remember what he said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. He said, cast out demons. I don't have to think about these things. He's already told me. He didn't say, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, if you really feel like you're led to. If not, let them stay sick. And I'm not saying don't be led by the Holy Ghost, but we already have our instructions on what to do. I don't know them. You know, they don't know me. What are they going to think? Well, if they see you doing all that moving like that, they already are thinking something. Okay. But you just, what are they going to ask yourself, what are they going to think when you lay hands on them and whatever was ailing them, not ailing them anymore? What are they going to think then? They're going to say, can you come to my home because my mom has this thing with her leg. It's okay. Well, let me ask you a question first. And you get them saved. But not only that, you can go one before and say, now that you believe the same thing I believe, you can go home and lay hands on your mommy and get the same results. But those things are only going to happen, folks, when we allow our minds to be renewed. And the only way our minds are going to be renewed is if we realize and understand we have the mind of Christ. We have to take it in, and we have to let that mind that was in Christ be in us also. I'm done. See, folks, every word, I believe every single word God has spoken concerning this ministry. Every single word. Even the words that mean I may have to change some of my actions. Because if God spoke it and I believe it, then I'm obligated to do it. We need you to believe every single word. Because as we read, we all need to be saying the same thing. We're not going to say the same thing if we're thinking different thoughts. We need to have the same excitement for God's word. We need to have the same value, place the same value on it. We're mindful, Pastor Ed and I, we're very mindful of the time. But you have to be so hungry that you don't care how much time it takes. We have to understand what it means when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things, what other things? All these other things that you could have been thinking about, they'll be added to you. But you have to keep your thoughts first on God's kingdom, on God's righteousness. That's what Jesus did from a young child. He said to his mother, don't you know? I have to be about my father's business. Now, if I'd have said that to mommy, she said, you're going to give the dentist some business. Okay. But so be it. So be it. All that means is I might talk like this a little bit. But I'm going to keep doing what my father says to do. And stop putting limitations on yourself. You say, well, Lord, you know, I have this medical condition. And I can only use one arm. So? He didn't ask you to hang wallpaper. He asked you to speak his word. I mean, every time I think of Nick Vujicic, no arms, no legs from birth, no complaints, tens of thousands coming to Christ, still going all over the world preaching the gospel. So I guess you don't need legs and arms to go all over the world and preach the gospel. But he had to humble himself. Because with no arms or legs, there's some very personal things that he has to have other people do. Where would he be if he said, no, that's too embarrassing? Why? Because what Christ said is first place. And no matter what I have to go through, no matter what I have to endure, I'm going to do what Christ says. My thoughts are going to stay like his. And I don't care what it costs me. I just flat out do not care. But it all starts, everybody has the same starting point. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So the first thing we have to do is get in Christ. Okay? How do you do it? Well, God doesn't make anything hard. Confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Done. You're in. That simple. And then you go about the process of renewing your mind. So is there anyone here that needs to get in? You've never, to your knowledge, invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Never ask him to be your Savior. May not have known you had to. May have been on, spent all your life in church and they never told you, you must be born again. Is there anyone here?